Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Well, it was almost 40 years ago that the television series Roots became a legend.
You must hear your name first. You are Kunta Kinte, son of a moron Binta Kinte, grandson of Kaira Bakunta Kinte and Yaisa. You must always honor your ancestors, the ones who love you and watch over you. Your name is your spirit. Your name is your shield.
Roots is the story of a man named Kunta Kinte who was sold into slavery from his village in West Africa and brought to America. The update of Roots, which premiered on Memorial Day and finishes tonight, brings the story of Kunta Kinte's family to new audiences, and it's said to be technically improved and more historically accurate. Our next guest will talk about that with us. John Thornton is director of the African American Studies Program at Boston University, and he worked as an advisor for the new Roots miniseries. Professor, welcome.
Thanks.
So what was your role as an advisor for this new Roots?
Well, my field of study is African history. And so they asked me primarily to work on the first 30 minutes or so of the segment, which is on Africa. And that's pretty much what I did. I made a little bit of a contribution to some of the later parts, but basically it was confined to Africa.
And so were there some aspects of the original Roots that you had to work on and change to make them more historically accurate?
Well, we had to change quite a bit of the original Roots. I mean, the filmmakers were in a spot because they had to honor the basic outlines of the story. And at the same time, there was this all this visual evidence out there that people already knew about. And so they couldn't change everything. But they did change a lot, and they changed it in a very good way, in my opinion.
So tell me one big change.
Well, the biggest change was the transformation of Jufre from being a little country village to being
Jufre
pretty significant
town. Jufre is the native town where Kunta Kinte is from.
The town of Jufre was the town where Kunta Kinte was supposed to have originated, and the Kinte family continues to live in that town, so that was a good start. Today, and when Alex Haley visited in the 60s, it's not much of a place. It's a pretty small backcountry town. But in 1767, it was probably had 10,000 people, and next door to it was another town of equal size. So we're talking about a really sizable urban kind of a settlement, considering that Annapolis, where he was going, had 2,300 people at the same time. And Jufre was archaeologically investigated since the first Roots was made, so we know a lot more about its extent and how actually cosmopolitan it was, much more so than what we would have seen in the 77 version.
So it was a big, diverse sort of center.
Yes.
And do we have any more information now than we did then about what Kunta Kinte's family may have been like?
Well, we have more information now in the sense that there were people, of course, that knew a lot more about it at the time, back in the 70s. But the Kintes were a family that's a part of a group within the Mandinka culture called Jula. Julas were a commercial group. There were multiple families within the Jula tradition, and they could be from different ethnicities as well as Mandinka, although Mandinka was the common language that all the Julas did. The Julas specialized in commerce and in Islamic scholarship. That's what they were known for, either one or the other, or sometimes both, all combined. Kunta Kinte's idea of studying in Timbuktu was not something that would have been alien to the Julas, although I don't think his sort of sudden decision in the presentation, you have to study for a long time to get to that place, and you probably would have had to go to an intermediate school before you got to Timbuktu, but that's a small point.
And so it was predominantly Muslim? Is that right?
Yes, it was, although it did contain a Catholic church. There was a Catholic community there that had been there since the 17th century, And there was, of course, a chapel for the English trading post, and there was a French church in Albreda, the town right next to it. So everybody else was Muslim.
So, you know, one of the things that's different about today's roots from the 1977 version is its depiction of African slave traders. And let's listen to this scene where Kunta Kinte's father is threatening a rival family for illegally selling slaves to the British. Let's listen.
The king knows you sail upriver to buy slaves at favorable prices. He knows you're trading them for English guns.
None of this is your business, Omoro Kinte.
We control who goes up and down the river.
So that part of the story, talk about what was going on there and the historical accuracy of that.
Well, this is an interesting section because Jufure was a part of a kingdom, and the king they're talking about is a man named Nandanko Sunta Sanko. He had become king in 1760. And a French witness of the time described him as I'm going to read to you now. He made an oath on his succession to the throne to never soil his hands with human blood, and he has never yet violated it at all. He was reputed to be not necessarily an enemy of the slave trade, but an enemy of the sort of disorderly conduct that often went along with the slave trade. And he was, for that reason, that sort of scene could have made sense. We're talking about a Jula family. I'm presuming that the other family besides the Kuntas, they're called the Kolos in the movie, that these people were basically violating a law that the king had placed on the illegal enslavement of people. It's important to realize that there was a legal process in African societies that, at least in theory, should be obeyed, although it was frequently violated in practice.
And so there was a big difference about what slavery was in these communities and what we're talking about here.
Well, absolutely. Jewelers dealt in long-distance commerce. That was their specialty. And long-distance commerce meant gold trade, slave trade. So Kunta Kinte's family, whether he personally was involved in it, would have been involved in the slave trade. The difference between the two, if we take the movie at face value, is that the Kintes were following the rules as established by the king, who was anxious to prevent disorder, and the other family, the Kolos, which was violating the rules and were prepared to act violently.
I understand there's a connection between Gambia and Boston.
Well, there is, as a matter of fact. Research that Linda Haywood, who's my colleague at the African American Studies program, and I did a couple years ago, we looked at shipping patterns that brought slaves to New England. And in the 1750s and 60s, at the end of the Seven Years' War, a lot of slaves were brought in by New England shippers. And most of them came from Muslim parts of West Africa, including the Gambia. So probably Boston's most famous African resident, Phyllis Wheatley, might very well have come from Jufure. She was enslaved in Gambia, and she might have even known Kunta Kinte.
Wow. You know, why do you think this series is important? And I ask this because the backdrop is that there are some prominent African Americans, just recently Snoop Dogg says, you know, people should boycott this new update of Roots. He says he's tired of movies about slavery. Why aren't there movies about success? Does he have a point?
Well, he has a point for sure. I think we'd all like to see more movies about success. And I know I would certainly like to see more movies about historical topics that don't necessarily constantly deal with slavery. It is difficult to deal with this period of time and to deal with African-descended people in the Americas without wrestling with slavery. So we can either decide to excise a large chunk of American history, or we have to deal with it.
Okay. John Thornton, director of the African American Studies Program at Boston University and an advisor on the new remake of Roots. The finale airs tonight on the History Channel. John, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.